Everyone, welcome to Developing Palettes. I am Aaron Loomis, and with me, as always, is June Liu. How are you doing, June?
Doing good.
So today we are talking about the Pappy Van Winkle Tradition Toro. Cigar is 6-inch by 50 ring gauge, comes out of the La Gran Fabrica Drew Estate factory in Nicaragua. Ecuadorian Habano Oscuro wrapper, Indonesian binder. Filler is from Nicaragua and the Dominican Republic. Cigar is blended by Willie Herrera. Price point is $23.60. And the cigar was released in October of 2017. So June, what was your pre-light experience like?
I thought the cigar looked good. You know, for one thing, I'm a big fan of bourbon, and looking at bands that mimics the Pappy 20 year is always cool, I think. But you know, aside from that, I thought the bands, the wrapper looked really good. Good oil content. Seems tight. Things well pressed. Bunch of roll feels really nice, and then pretty got a uniform give throughout. A double cap on the head. So in terms of looks, great. The nosy experience was it was good. You know, nothing like earth shattering, but just good. So off the wrapper, I got Barnyard Cedar on the foot, dry white pepper, mixed nuts, cold draw, cedar and sawdust. So great looking cigar, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, all the visual cues that you mentioned were spot on. In regards to aroma, I got, you know, earthiness and light hay from the wrapper. Foot was a mix of leather and sweet hay. Pre-light draw was kind of same mix of hay and leather, along with a little bit of mild spiciness on my lips. And not huge differences between our experiences. So take us through your flavor profile.
So start of the first third. Pretty generic flavors, but tasty notes. So I got mainly cedar, black pepper, a little bit of cream mixed nuts coming through. On a retro, it's exactly as kind of those mouth draw flavors. It's just that it's, you know, bigger flavors of all of that. And also started to get this like a little bit of like a citrus tanginess to it. So on the finish, fairly short, you know, quick fading black pepper and cedar is mainly what I got out of the finish. In terms of strength and body, solid medium throughout the entire cigar, actually. Within the second and last third, I'll group them together because I had the same experience. I thought that there was a turn for the worse within, you know, the second and last third of the cigar. I felt like it was more that generic note that I was tasting in the first third, although it was good. It's still generic, but it became less complex. And I mainly just started getting like black pepper and dry wood. The other notes of like the semi-sweet creaminess, the dry nuts that I got, it was still there, but it was, I had to like really reach for it. So it's almost like to the point where it's non-existent. Retro health still, you know, generic, black pepper, dry wood, just, you know, intensified versions of them. Basically the story of this one is, started out with a good tasting profile, then it kind of finished off, with the average tasting profile.
Yeah. For me, the cigar began with like a really interesting mix of wood and spices, half inch in or so, the spice kind of mellowed out, quite a bit, and that wood gained a slight char to it. And then at an inch in, that char went away and got those kind of pockets of like young green wood. It's actually quite pleasant. I kind of enjoy those flavors, and there's no bitterness to it. There's also a little bit of an underlying creaminess, kind of the whole profile. It was really subtle. Retrohale was also carrying kind of that green wood note, and as the third was coming to a close, some of that char kind of returned to the wood, and strength was right at medium. Getting in the second third, slightly charred wood note continues, a little bit of subtle spiciness and creaminess. Retrohale was still a little bit of that green wood note. A little bit of that creaminess goes away, a quarter inch in. Profile became a bit dry. At an inch in, that wood note goes back to the slightly green profile, and it wasn't as drying. And then as the third was coming to a close, that green note kind of went away from the wood, and it was just kind of the standard wood note, and strength was still at the medium level. In the final third, a little bit of char came back to the wood, still a little subtle spice in the background. Half inch in, char increases a little bit, a little bit of bitterness joins in. And then an inch in, I began to get some pockets of that green wood note and some charred notes kind of intermingling there. And that's kind of how the cigar finished out, and strength was still at the medium level. So construction-wise, what was your experience like?
I had zero issues with the construction. I rated both the burn and the draw to be the perfect, amazing score. You know, the burn was tight ashes, inch and a half increments. It burned slowly, never had a relight or touch up. In terms of draw, you know, striking that perfect balance between resistance and airflow. So very well constructed cigar for me.
For me, the burn was pretty flaky. Ash was pretty flaky throughout the cigar. Also required a touch up on the first third, because half the wrapper didn't want to burn for like a half inch length. But ash did hold on like 1 inch increments. And then for the draw, it was the same as you. It was just perfect, just the right amount of resistance that I prefer. So I didn't have any issues at all with it. So overall, what were your thoughts on the cigar?
Overall, I thought it was an average tasting cigar. The beginning of the cigar in the first third, really, it was good, but it basically overall the flavor experience was, you know, generic notes of black pepper and dry wood. I do recall smoking maybe like two or three of these cigars at IPCPR, and I liked it. And I think I even distinctly saying to you at the Drew Estate party, be like, "Hey, this is actually pretty good." Mm-hmm. You know, with any cigars that I smoke at the trade show, and especially being in Vegas in the freaking desert, I heavily discount those because, you know, it's typically the cigars are not ready to be smoked when they deliver it to Vegas. In Vegas weather this winter, I mean, in the summertime, it just freaking blows because it's so damn hot and dry. But, you know, given proper rest and humidor time since then, you know, it's kind of a generic note, kind of an average note for me. So, yeah.
And the cigar started off with like a, you know, I guess nice wood combination with some spice. And then kind of as you're talking about it, it just kind of settled into a really generic profile from the second third on. You know, price doesn't factor into our scoring, but you have to take note of the price on this cigar. I mean, it's $23 plus. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of that is licensing cost. Go back to the old Rip Van Winkle distillery. How much of that is that? I don't know. But I'm sure it definitely plays a significant role in that. But for me, that would be a deal breaker if I was going to go out and buy this cigar. If I knew what the flavor profile that it was going to generate, I'm not going to spend $23 to get this experience. So, but, you know, as always, you have to go out and, you know, decide that on your own. I can't tell you that. So you have to go out and try it and see if you like it or don't like it. I'm interested in trying another Vitola, see what I think. But at that point, you know, the price is really a detriment in regards to go into any deeper. So getting the scores, I give it a 5.90. You gave it a 6.10. How do you think that matches up with your experience?
Match up well. I mean, overall, I thought it was average tasting cigar, an expensive average tasting cigar, and really well constructed. You know, in between from Vegas to now, I probably smoked a total like 40 of these guys. So I could pretty well confirm that overall it was average tasting. So average tasting compounded by really good construction. So that warrants that kind of a score.
Yeah. And our flavor scoring was identical. The only difference was in our construction scores, and that's why there's a difference. Otherwise flavor wise, it was the same. So, it was good. It had a good flavor profile in the first third, and the second third and final third were just average. So an average overall. So that's kind of where it is. So, any final thoughts from you? I think I already kind of shared my notes on the pricing factor, but
Speaking of pricing, if you could get your hands on the old school Stitzel Weller distilled bourbon, that's Pappy, because right now it's distilled by Buffalo Trace. Not the same, not even close to being the same juice. It is well worth the premium. Right. And I have a bottle, and it's absolutely fucking delicious.
You brag much or what?
Huh?
You brag much or what?
No, dude, I got this bottle 8 years ago. No, uh-huh. Almost 10 years ago at retail, which is the Pappy 20 I got back in retail was $110. And nobody was even batting an eye. It was just sitting on the shelves.
Right.
And now there's so many fucking flippers that they really piss me off.
Yep, exactly. All right, if you're just catching this video on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to us. We'll also check out the full written review on the website, developingpals.com. Be sure to follow us on all the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Google Plus. And you can catch us all our review recaps on podcasts, so iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next one.